Shoulder to shoulder, lights in the dark, are soon out in every way. Pride in our colors.
Well, that didn't go as planned. All right, well, like I said, it's a practice show, and, well, that's why it's a practice show. Didn't quite get that down. Welcome to the Center of the Universe. By the way, the Tulsa Center of the Universe is a worn concrete circle approximately 30 inches in diameter within the middle of another circle made up of 13 bricks. Overall, the center is a little more than 8 feet in diameter. The center of the universe is an acoustic anomaly. When one stands in the center of the circle and makes a noise, that noise is echoed back several times louder than it was made. Imagine dropping a small pin and expecting to hear a tiny tink as it hits the floor. Instead, the sound of the pin is more like the loud crash of a gong. While this in itself is amazing, the truly amazing thing is that no one standing outside of the circle can hear a thing. A foghorn could be going off in the center of the circle, and those on the outside wouldn't hear it. Or rather, that is how the legend goes. Anyway, joining us from the center of the universe tonight is my guest, Kyle Blue Shift Dickey. What is on the agenda tonight, Mr. Blue Shift?
Well, we wanted to talk first a little bit about production, and we'll cover that, you know, by itself and move on to the topics. But we're trying to put it together. We're trying to learn, you know, how to do a radio show and get a really top-notch thing going. So everyone, when it actually finally does get off, if you thought the information that we're telling you now is good or shocking, then wait until you see what happens after launch date. Wait till you hear what we have to say.
Which is, by the way, September 1st of this year. So, look forward to that. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yep. That's pretty much it. You know, we're as we do these little things, we're gonna try adding, you know, new aspects. We are gonna try to take callers or figure it out.
While they're listening, UFOs identified. Go.
All right. So, you know, everyone always calls them UFOs. You know, back in the 50s, they called them flying saucers, you know, because that's generally what people saw or thought they saw. But in actuality, we reverted back to the whole UFO, unidentified flying object thing. And they're not unidentified. And they're not flying in most cases. And they're not necessarily an object because we know what they are. And generally what they do or are doing. And I'm going to cover that here in just a second. I'm going to start with the different categories that I think are most popular today. You know, one is the flying saucer, and two is the orbs, or orbs, as people are calling them. The first thing you need to understand about the flying saucer is it's not flying. In most cases, though there are different types of technologies being used, so they can be different, so don't quote me on this, but in most cases, they're actually sitting on the air. They are not flying in the air or hovering or floating in any sense. They are actually sitting on top of the actual air molecules, like standing, like you're standing on the ground. Another thing you need to understand about these flying objects, or whatever you want to call them, is that they are not always what they appear to be. They may appear like a flying disc, but they're not necessarily a flying disc in a disc shape. Because these crafts, they change shape. And they change shape based on a number of different things, and also, once again, depending on the technology that is being used, they may change shape based on what they come in contact with. They may change shape based on what they are interacting with. And since they are controlled by an occupant, not with a joystick, but rather with the occupant's brain or mind, they are interfacing with whatever they came there to interact with, consciously, with their minds or brains. They came to interact with something that caught their attention, and they were essentially drawn there and used the machine to go to what they were drawn to, you know, like something on the ground, an event that was happening, or a person. And, you know, basically the person that they were, let's say the person that they were going to interact with was interested in seeing a UFO. So then they saw a UFO. But
right.
Then the occupant of the craft...
Here we are. There you go. Next, yeah, that kind of deal.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's really kind of like that. And they...
I believe that.
They actually, you know, will interact with people based on their awareness of them. They will show up more if more people are interested in it. And then, of course, they also have to permit you to see them for whatever their reasons are.
Mm.
You know, not just anyone is able to think, I want to see a UFO, and then one shows up. No, if they don't permit someone to see them, then they don't see them.
Is it like being hypnotized or something like that? Is that what you're saying?
No. It's more like your intent. If you intend to see something, all right, you can call it toward, you're calling it towards you, all right?
Okay.
But there's also the other factor of you, yourself. You can also, you know, along the lines of certain probability, go towards, you know, your best chance to see something, which would probably be, you know, during, you know, the twilights, you know, the dawn of the day or the evening, you know, when you can actually see something, or at night, you know, you can't really see anything. But they can see you.
Mm-hmm.
It's like sitting in a darked out room with lights all around.
Yeah.
You can see out, but they can't see in.
Uh-huh.
And it's
like
kind of like that.
Do they like our interest in them?
Absolutely. It gives them essentially a sort of permission to interact with whoever's interested, meaning they're welcome, you know, and it's a simple etiquette, rules and etiquette that they seem to be following. And there are many different sources that say this.
You're reaching out a hand, you want to shake with them, and they say, well, is this guy someone I want to shake hands with? They are, then they reach out and shake your hand, right?
Right. You know, so what would an alien or occupant of one of these craft be, you know, interested in? You know, are you really interesting enough to even, you know, show up to?
Yeah, that's why I haven't met one yet.
Well, anyway, moving on to the other thing is the orbs. The orbs, as you know. Me and some other people were discussing earlier, was they are not crafts by themselves. In most cases, the orbs are should be really called probes. They're
so
probing.
So, what you're saying is this is your second type of UFOs identified is the orbs?
Yes, the orbs. These are the two popular things, you know. And orbs are really should be called probes. You know, they're probing to see what's on the other side. And, well, why? I mean, there's, you know, an infinite number of reasons, you know, that it could be. You know, I guess you got to ask the operator or the owner, hey, what's this orb doing here? And not all orbs are glowing. Sometimes they are actually cloaked and they appear as like a shadow or like a distortion, like heat coming off of a blacktop. And they fly around, and they tend to be smaller, but they fly around and actually interact with people. And they're basically getting information about them. And they could be doing other things as well, but, you know, there's no really a way to, you know, track those because, you know, people aren't talking about it. You know, you can't figure out how many there are, and they're smaller, and they probably come off the bigger ones. Just my guess, though. And, you know, I guess the other question is, well, where do they come from? And, you know, who owns them? And, you know, there's actually, you know, two different kinds of places that they can come from. These orbs, probes, flying saucers, or crafts.
Right.
And you have to understand it's not limited to this, but just for, you know, the newcomer's sake, and in the short period of time that we have, we'll say, one, in most cases, these craft and orbs are coming not from outer space, millions of light years away. They're actually coming from right over your shoulder. They are coming from a different frequency or another dimension. And I would refer to you to the Norse mythology of the nine realms, or you know, just change the terminology, you know, to the 21st century. Realms is now replaced with dimensions. And
what are the nine realms? Go ahead.
I actually didn't really study Norse mythology. I just realized there was a connection between these old ass stories and the modern science behind it. But we can call dimension 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12. The different dimensions, there's different things going on in it, but it's still always the same place, just in a different frequency. The solid matter is just in a different frequency. And that's why almost all UFOs that come from another dimension will appear to be constantly vibrating or distorted, like heat coming off of a blacktop. And that's basically the one type. And then the other type would be actually from outer space, like real bona fide space aliens. And those are the two main categories, but those are really the ones that any, you know, group or following or listener is going to be really looking at as possible until, you know, the day that one group decides to just do whatever it is that they're going to do and show everybody or tell everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk about that day later on in another episode when, you know, one group decides to just do their own thing.
Hold on just a second. Hey, we have our first person logging in for chat. If they'd like to ask us a question, go ahead, and I'll announce it to Blue Ship. I see that you're there, so thanks, Richard, for joining our chat room. Go ahead, Blue Ship.
Well, hello, Richard.
It's not a live call. He's in on the chat room. I just want to let him know that he's aware, and everybody else is, that we're pre-production, and that's one
Okay.
He is typing a question right now, So thank you, Richard, and help us with and appreciate you helping us with pre-production. We see you and look forward to your questions. Go ahead, Blue Chef.
Okay. Well, I mean, that pretty much, I think that pretty much covers, you know, the different, you know, types of UFOs, the main ones, and then, you know, what they, you know, where they come from and what kind of beings operate, the beings that operate them would be interdimensional travelers or interdimensional beings. And the other type would be extraterrestrials, which is what people mainly think that almost every single one of them are. And like actually, you know, space aliens, you know, space aliens, man. I mean, that's some crazy shit. I mean, who'd have thought that space aliens would actually be real? You know, I mean, among some, you know, forget all the science fiction stuff. You know, let's just pretend you're the average person. Like, you know, I guess I was until I realized, holy shit. There's some.
Hey, Kyle, I'm gonna bring up something we talked about earlier. We talked about this earlier as far as if you do see a spacecraft or a UFO or whatever, should they report and procedures that we need to change. I noticed, and I am a member of MUFON, that they're in a Craigslist rent and rave section. There was a, I don't know, male or female, or it doesn't matter, from around Tahlequah that spotted a UFO, and he wasn't able to fill out he went to MUFON, and I guess since it's rural, he couldn't quite get finished because of the deal, but he spotted one, and so, I mean, there's going to be more and more reports. Let's fill them in on how they should report procedures. Also let them know that there are members in MUFON that are looking and searching for information, and you know, for example, he saw something, and I mean, it doesn't matter what it is. We're talking about different types of UFOs, but it could be whatever, right? But for them to report, what is the proper procedures?
Well, you know, you gotta go to MUFON, and you actually have to fill out a form, you know, and it goes into a lot of detail. If you don't, you know, have the ability to actually have an investigator come out. Right now here in Oklahoma, we're still trying to get the personnel, you know, the people, the volunteers to actually, you know, receive the training and go out and do the investigations. Right here in Oklahoma, we are behind in our investigation of, you know, the unknown in general. And, man, yeah. Oklahoma has got more stuff going on than probably any other state.
Exactly. That's what we're talking about. And I mentioned that I'm a member of MUFON, but I'm not an investigator. The director for MUFON here in Oklahoma, his name is Rick Gardner. Great guy. Willing to listen to anything. They prefer you to, of course, like anything, is get as much written documentation as you can. Reports are long. I'm sure Rick would love to listen to any information, but when I see information like that, I just am a facilitator and pass along to Rick, or we'll take the time to help them fill out the they can call me and we'll help them fill out the form to get it to the people that are investigators, and then Rick will take a look at him. So that's what I was going to help with this gentleman earlier, to let him know that there are people that can help them out with reports. We'll take the time. Like Lucef said, we're way behind. I mean, take a look at Arizona. Arizona, by far, is one of the, they're just they're a model for us to go by, and
and we intend to actually one up them.
Yeah,
we intend to do better.
That's why we're taking the steps to do the pre-production. We want to get it right. Like I said, the first show is in September. Working out the kinks, make sure that that there's no reason for somebody not to listen, and let them know that there are no bad reports. There are all reports that need to be followed through. There's nobody in Oklahoma that's going to judge you at all about what you would like to report. He's talking about different types, and he's also saying that they can shift into many different things. He's talking about identified, but they can change at any time. The usual suspects are the ones you're talking about, but there can be many more, correct?
That's true. They could move through a thick shade tree if they wanted to. And
yeah.
And and on top of that, they do it while they're essentially what you would call see-through or invisible. You know, they can do this. They could even look like a plane or a helicopter. They can look like whatever they want it to look like. That is how advanced the technology truly is. It is beyond your comprehension.
Kyle, I was watching the show Transformers. You know, my nephew yesterday. Can they really do some of that? They can really do some of that, you think? Can
You know what? That is a really good point. I hadn't thought of that until you just brought that up. You know what? That's really a good way of putting the technology, like a transformer. You know, like I remember at the beginning of the first one, it cloaked itself as an actual military helicopter and showed up on their radar and everything. That's the way that the movie portrayed it. And you know what? I wouldn't be surprised, you know, using crazy-ass technology like this, if they can do that with these crafts that we're seeing. Maybe that was a hint.
You think a laptop computer can turn into a small drone?
I don't think that the laptop computer would turn into a small drone. I would say that the small drone could look like a laptop computer if it needed to, like, to cloak itself that way.
Yeah.
But I don't think you're going to be carrying it around and, you know, and using it as a laptop computer.
Yes, but your thinking is with the people that you've met and talked to, that a military or anything could turn into. I mean, the Transformer movie might not be that far off.
Nope, might not be that far off. And not only is it probably not that far off, but I've had my suspicions about some of the, you know, some craft and their flight patterns that didn't seem like they were, sport pilot licensed occupants, because they tend to fly certain routes because they tend to be under a lot of restrictions, you know, and then commercials tend to always fly in one particular general direction or the other, and military planes, I know, fly in a very particular direction during training and auxiliary exercises because they don't want to interfere with any of the other traffic.
I'm holding you up once again. You want to go into implants real quick and then cosmic events. Let's go with implants right now.
Yeah, implants. This is a topic that was brought to my attention. I hadn't really thought about it too much, but something that I would like to point out. If you, let's say you have an implant, or you know you had an implant or something like that, you think aliens abducted you and they put implants.
Hold that thought, Kyle. Your friend Richard has a question. If aliens can cloak themselves as regular planes, how do we identify them for what they really are?
You don't. And that's as, it's as simple as that. You don't. Because they are using a technology beyond your comprehension. And until we are developing that same level of technology and it is public knowledge, the public will not identify them. Because they just won't know. Just like you haven't known for a very long time.
And
you
by
may
the
think
way,
you know.
And by the way, Richard read my mind. I was thinking the same thing. Great question, Richard. Yeah, so you don't.
Yeah, the answer is you don't. You don't know, and there's nothing you can do about it. Unless you can make this technology yourself, which would require... It would require an entire country, maybe even two or three countries, working together with all of their industries for quite a while, maybe, I don't know, 70 years, working on something like that to maybe get that technology. But then again, you have to understand what you're trying to create. If you don't understand what you're trying to create, then you're not going to create the same thing. You're going to create something different or new, or a hybrid between what you think you got and what you think you're looking at. And that's
okay,
something the government should really consider.
And this is a way out here question, but here's what I'm thinking. I know that it's not, I'm sure I'm way off in this deal, but after Richard's question, I'm thinking, what if, I mean, this is pretty far up there, but 9/11, planes flying into the towers. There we go. I mean, could that have been, you know, could that have been a spacecraft, an alien spacecraft?
No. No, it wasn't an alien spacecraft, and we can cover that another time. I can tell you all about that. It's not...
Okay.
Many people have already gotten that right in the 9/11 truther groups and stuff. They've already figured it out. They've already covered that.
Okay.
It's not that's nothing new. But if, like I said, another time you can poke my mind for it.
Okay. But back to his question, you just don't know. I mean, there's no way to identify them then.
Yes, there's nothing you can do when they come around. There's nothing that anyone can do when they come around, at all. They are going to do what they're going to do, and they're not going to be doing very much. Let's put it that way.
Okay. Well, here we are at 30 minutes already. Implants or cosmic events? You've got 2 minutes.
Implants. Something you need to know about implants. If you have implants put in you by whatever you get them put in you by, do not remove them, because chances are you don't know how they got in you. And that means they're using the technology beyond your comprehension. So don't take the super advanced beings with their super advanced technologies things out of you. Because if they went through the trouble to come here and put them in you to find out whatever it is they're going to find out, and you take them out, they're just going to put more back in. And don't cause yourself distress. Just let them do what they're going to do. And just... leave it alone. More information will come out regarding these later. There are two different kinds of implants. There's monitoring implants, and then there's energetic implants, which they monitor what your chakra system is doing and what your thought patterns are to predict you, to understand you, to learn about you, and if you do have them put them in you, there's something special about you that an alien race, out of all the billions of people on the planet, they thought you were special for some frickin' reason. So, you know, I'll leave you off with that one. But don't take them out. Because,
what percentage do you think of people do have implants in them?
Not very many.
Really?
But there are other things that are similar to implants that you should probably... be aware of, and we can cover those at a different time. but they're not the implants that we're talking about. Implants we're talking about are, you know, from the interdimensional travelers and space aliens. And
I guess
they know,
we'll cover them. I guess we'll cover that on our next show. Thanks for listening and putting up with this pre-production show. Richard, thank you once again for your chat question. Everyone have a great night from the center of the universe. Good night, everyone.